Listen, you're going to have to help me tonight. This is Russ Dizdar. It is now the 28th of September 2010. It's a Tuesday night. I'm reading a book called Bridging Science and Spirit. Now, listen, I read a lot. I do love to study in all kinds of fields, especially because of what is going on, because of the drivenness of what's happening in the world around us. And as I mentioned many times, the ramping up of things spiritual, the demonic side, what God is doing and where everything is going, what is not seeable literally by our eyes is really the cause, though, behind so many things. As you've heard me say, that there is no globalism. There's no globalism without the spirit that is behind it. The concept of a global mind. I agree. There is a living presence out there, and there is an agenda. And it does stay, well, in the dark where we cannot register it, but we do see the manifestation. Hundreds of millions in the New Age, hundreds of millions embracing Luciferic agenda, doctrine. They're being carried along in some cases. Well, I'm reading something, and I want you to help me with this tonight. This is coming from what is called the Copenhagen View. And I'm quoting here, "The quantum field specifies the probability of finding a particle at a given position in space if one happens to be looking." Now, let me just stop. I know this may not interest some folks, but this is where a lot of science is going. This is where I think CERN and maybe the hidden reasons for CERN are tied up in this concept. The idea that what we see, there is something behind it. And as I'm reading here, it's talking about that the particle that eventually is seeable, that is the manifestation. When the scientists see the particle, that is the manifestation of something they are calling a wave. Something behind the particle. Something causes the particle. There's a cause. I would like to think in terms of an uncaused cause, that there is a cause behind the sustaining of the universe, the creation of the universe, and the eventual new heavens and new earth that's going to come about. And that something is immense, is immeasurable, is infinite, but yet personal and knowable. Now, let me read again. This is page 39, Bridging Science and Spirit. I'm going to tell you right now that is going to be and continue to be a very major field of study. Somehow, some way, the breaking through from the material universe, well, the goal into the immaterial, into the invisible, into the, the untouchable. There's a scripture that all those out there that believe the Bible can look at. It talks about how God dwells in unapproachable light. God dwells in he's the immortal God, in unapproachable. So the question is, will science be able to eventually peel back everything, reach in and literally grab God's hand? Let me give you another quote from page 39. Quote, "When we are not looking, it is a wave, but a wave that is not real. This effect of looking and not looking makes observation a key concept in modern physics. The entire wave appears to collapse down to a particle instantaneously upon being observed. The wave function describes conditions before matter makes its appearance." Now, this has everything to do with the grand design. Stephen Hawking, the new news that is out concerning, spontaneous creation. That we didn't really need God to do it. That somehow, some way, there is, a wave out there? Something that's not real but real? Something that when we're not looking, all of a sudden moves, and then when we do see, it is the particle, it is the manifestation, but not the cause of that manifestation. And I guess I'm reasoning all of this because behind the voice to skull, behind the influence, behind the development of globalism, that affects politics, that affects economics, that affects the military, behind the spirit of mind and heart communication of information to MILLAB weapons development specialists, well, there's a wave, there's a presence, there's an entity, there's spirit. They're not calling the wave here spirit. But I'm going to say that's what it is. You see, there's a scripture again in the book of Romans that talks about out of nothing, God can make something. Out of no pre-existent material, God makes. It's not just that it's ex nihilo, that God creates out of nothing. He creates out of himself with no need of some pre-existent material. Whatever material is there, it is what God has, well, put out there. And if God moves upon the material to, well, extend it, add to it, develop it. But ultimately, the issue is what you see, what the scientists in modern physics can see and touch and grab, the particles, they are, well, at least in the Copenhagen view, they are there out of some kind of wave that we cannot see, that we cannot touch, that we cannot measure, that out of the wave comes eventually the physical manifestation and appearance. Listen, for those that believe the Bible and you look at Ephesians 6, it talks about lifting up the shield of faith by which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. Now, please understand, if you're a believer in Christ, we should know this. Those arrows are communications coming from something we cannot see. The wave, a spiritual presence that out of its realm, thrusting into our realm, comes the manifestation of, well, influence and thoughts and involuntary leading and guidance and ideas and technology and all kinds of stuff. Well, that's what we're going to talk about here on a Tuesday night. We're going to touch on this series that we're doing this week, So You Want to Be God, subtitled Evolution to Deity, Quest of the Ages, Chasing the Elusive Carrot. Because right now, my friends, millions are buying into this. From the level of those who are scientists and physicists, and they're engaging the line where the immaterial and the material connect. And they want to be able to reach over to the other side. And their gloves are not big enough yet. I don't know if they'll ever be big enough. I don't know if finite humanity can rip down the scales and reach over and literally grab a hold of God's hand. Or could it be grabbing a hold even of a fallen cherub's hand? On this night, as we deal with the concept, you see, when many of us look at biblical prophecy, biblical prophecy shows us clearly that the fallen cherub in a counterfeit incarnation, I say Homo Satanus, in this incarnation of the Antichrist, for the cultists, it's the world leader, the world teacher. For others, it's the Maitreya, the Mahdi, the, well, however you look at it, a Superman. Well, at least he will look like that, but what he really is, well, death incarnate, lies incarnate, use and abuse incarnate, and that will show itself in the political, economic, and military realms as never before in history. And it comes from the supranatural side, the physics of what we cannot touch, the wave, the unfeelable, unseeable, but yet it enters into our existence. Wasn't always this way. We're going to go way, 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 way back. And then we're going to, you know, take us all the way forward to that prophecy. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the apocalypse anthropos anamos, the unveiling of the man of lawlessness, who is, in that chapter's context, ultimate goal in that chapter anyway is to take himself to the temple, declare himself to be God. He's going to exalt himself above everything that is, well, considered, anything that is spiritual, anything that's considered divine. The betrayal of the New Age, the betrayal of the occultist, the betrayal of everything. Here's going to be the singularity of Luciferic manifestation. Calling all the world to drop all the other forms of religion, spirituality, and things, a new singular presence, reality, spirituality that will affect the New Age, the New World Order, the order that, is it the Age of Aquarius? I'm going to give you two reasons why there is such a bleeding into our society, our nations, our globe at this time. There is such a drivenness and pursuit to want to, well, to be homo lumos, homo deity. Can we somehow, through genetics, as I mentioned yesterday, artificial intelligence? Listen, you know what's driving a lot of that is the spiritual content that is being communicated, giving the ideas, giving the pursuit, to where there are literally, again, so many in some of the highest realms of disciplines researching, seeking, and then communicating that an evolution to godhood, an evolution to something beyond what we are, is just before us. It's just right out there. And so there's one side of this drivenness that comes from the top down, in a sense. The other side of this is to fix us. Something's wrong. We die, we rot, we shoot, we kill. We get diseases, we don't develop right. Something's wrong with us. And so the concept of the immortal cell, the concept of a machine-based evolution or a machine-based obtaining of immortality. Machine-based AI, artificial intelligence, enables us to do our own resurrection. We're going to take a look at all of that tonight. Want to say welcome to all of you listening live. Glad to have you tonight. This is Shatter the Darkness Live Shatters live broadcast. We hope that it's preemptive. We hope that it is vital in your context of understanding where we are, where you are. There is, I will say, and it comes from the unseen, something that I can't just reach out and rip open the heavens and grab a hold of, but the heavens were opened and God did grab a hold of my life. In Christ, the presence of God, the presence of the Spirit of God, well, there's an experiential side of knowing this. And seeing it in revelation of Scripture, seeing it in God demonstrating evidential signs. Matter of fact, have you ever read Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection, Jesus Christ gave the early disciples, hundreds of them, many infallible proofs that he was alive. I think by theology, the creation speaks, it pours forth speech, it communicates, and according to Romans 1, we're left without excuse. But God even piles up the evidences. God piles up the touch. And yet millions around the world are embracing the final resurgence of the Luciferic promise, which pulls them out onto the field of the Luciferic agenda. You can't grab the Luciferic promise without being drawn into the agenda. And that's the two major issues I want to bring out tonight. So welcome again, all those listening live. This is Russ Dizdar. Website, shatterthedarkness.net. Don't forget to check it out. We just got some of our courses and their links fixed. So on the left-hand side, you can scroll down a little bit. Dynamic Discipleship, there's free things there. A Blaze for God, free. There is Theocentric Counseling, a course, free. There's Freedom Encounters, free. There is another one called Confronting the Powers, the Book of Daniel, and also Satanism 101. Those are all absolutely free. We will get up the rest of those later. We're working on a new course, the Book of Acts, Field Manual for the End of Days. All of that's going to come out to you free. Hundreds and hundreds of MP3s. There's over 100 MP3s that are given freely with the book, The Black Awakening. And so, listen, arm yourself, invest in yourself, grow, be engaged. I've gotten over this last year and a half so many emails. And again, blessings to you who've engaged. You know, you open your Bible, you listen to some teaching, you get before the Lord, you will grow. You will develop. You will be engaged concerning, you know, what's important in your life right now. What are you going to do with your life? And if you've realized as a believer in Christ, God calls you to take up the cross, to follow Christ, to get out in mission, to do what it is that God. And there is no higher calling, there is no higher grace, there is no higher great place of power and might, and there is no greater realm than in on our knees in prayer, seeing what miracles out of what we would think is nothing comes something. And when it's God, it's always clear and it's always good and it always jives with Scripture and it always points to Jesus Christ, to Jesus Christ. To the thousands of you that are going to listen to the archives from all over the world, prayers go up again. Blessings to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I do pray that God stretch out his hand, show great sign, great wonder, extraordinary work, unveil his word, and those who don't know Christ, listen. Today is the day of God's favor. Now is the time. To those that are searching, to those that are looking as far as reconnaissance, to those who are reconning the show, and even to those that are opposed, may the love and grace and the power of God open your heart and mind to see what the dark side will never allow you to even peek at. The dark side fears the gracious revelation of God. Because even the Scripture as we have it, it's a word of faith. What God does, what God says, these words, man, they will open eyes, they will open hearts, they will penetrate the darkness, they will enable an individual to be able to look up and see and finally cry out, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and everything can change. Well, let me tell you something. When we have conferences, things can change too. So we're in the middle of the week, well, kind of anyway, and just a couple of days away, we are going to be seeing Tom Horn and Derek and Sharon Gilbert and Jeffrey Radd, and Tom Dunn's going to be over there, and we're going to hear a little bit from old Francis Schaeffer in a video, at least, on science. We're going to hear from Reverend L, a Nigerian pastor. We're going to have a tremendous weekend. Canton, Ohio, this Friday night, all day Saturday. And listen, if you want to know about the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference, then take a look, shatterthedarkness.net. Go down a little bit. Scroll down just a little ways down. You'll see very clearly. Click on to either the picture or to the phrase Supernatural Science Prophecy Conference. It'll take you to the website. You'll see the backgrounds of those speaking. You'll see the costs. You'll see the hotel special price. You'll see the three meals that are offered. You're going to see a lot of things. And I've been told that people from over, I think now, 15 states are coming in this weekend. And that's going to be a great thing. We're looking forward to seeing everybody and being engaged with all that's going to happen this weekend. So it's the last time, last couple of days anyway, we'll say anything about it. Tonight, as we close out at 7, I want you to know we'll be here Wednesday night, 6 to 7. And then also the new timing, the Ragged Edge show has moved to 7 o'clock Wednesday nights. And it looks like Tom Horn, the author of Forbidden Gates and other books, and he's going to be there speaking on this very subject. Well, it looks like he's coming home from out of state, going to be there. And then tomorrow night, it looks like it's pretty clear that he'll be here with us for about a 40-minute interview. And I'm going to just mainly ask Tom to share the things that he might be pointing to at the conference and the cutting-edge things that he thinks are vital. So you can throw in some questions in the chat room if you'd like to. We're going to engage that. So take a look. Also, there's some new Seeing Into the Future session that's out and some of the past radio shows. Again, welcome. Welcome from all over the world. Welcome into the places where you're at downloading. And again, in my approach, you know, you're listening regardless of the reasons why. I just know the compelling love of God, summons of God, gracious hand of God. And listen, let's get into some of the wisdom of God tonight, because I think it's going to be vital that we really take a look. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there is an overwhelming motivation for globalism. In all globalism worldwide, you're going to see the streams of ancient spirituality from the finite fallen side. They're going to be converging. They're going to be, as some have called it, a singularity, moving towards a singular promise, a singular vision, a singular everything. And that involves the quest for an evolutionary development to godhood. Now, there's also a predatory sense that this evolutionary promise, this spiritual doctrine that is out there, that is among many, there's really a reason, and I think a predatory reason why so many are grasping hold of it. Because if you don't know about eternal life, if you don't know about immortality, if you don't know about being able to live forever, then trying to find out how that can happen, well, that's going to be part of the call to rise up and save yourself. Rise up and grasp. Can it be in transgenics? Can it be in artificial intelligence? Can it be in some of the new concepts that are coming out? The old thing's cryonics until a new day comes when all the healing and all the, you know, till we finally reach, will science save us? Will genetic manipulation save us? Will some spiritual wave that activates dormant DNA evolve humanity to godhood status, immortality? We don't need to die anymore. The quest is out there to live. To live well, but to continue to live, yes. So when I read this in this material here, I want to say it one more time. The wave function, that's what they're describing in physics as that unseeable. I mean, it's there. The wave function describes conditions before matter makes its appearance. We never see the wave until it collapses into matter. It's very interesting that it says it this way. The idea that something's there, we can't get a grasp, but we only are able to grasp it once it causes a manifestation into our material world. I'm going to tell you right now, because the world has gone supernatural, I mean, we've gone and grasped in every direction. God is operative. His hand is out there, and it's clear that another side is too. Question is, if you're spiritual, if you're engaged in the supernatural, what side of the fence is it coming from? Does it matter? Oh, absolutely. Now, let me take you somewhere else real quick here, and that is in Genesis. Yep, that's right, the beginnings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Now, when we get down past that and just that basic overview that a child can take a look at and see about what God was doing, God creating, and then we get into something else. Then we get into the creation of Adam, humanity. Then we get into the concept of, well, verse 7, chapter 2, the Lord God formed the man, Adam, from the dust of the ground. And that's what we are, because we go back to it when we actually die. But the difference is that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, who did this? God did this. It comes from the side which we cannot just, by our finite minds, abilities, the extension of science, calculations, and everything else. Not even the full force of the fallen cherubs' collective power can break down the door, per se, and get into the third heaven or into the locality of God. God breathes into us the breath of life, and Adam became a living being, a living soul. Now, this is incredible. When we get to the end of this, it is that God made Adam, and male and female, he created them. And there is going to be the immediate creation, the immediate creation. There's going to be procreation, the ability for man and woman to come together. And in conception, to me, that is a glorious science. But it is the science of God. There are physics involved when it comes to the instantaneous moment of conception. Now, one of the guys, one of the geneticists I'm reading, was basically making fun of anybody thinking that that is when the human soul is created and that simply a blob. Because he was arguing for the fact of in vitro, and he's arguing for the fact of causing a fertilized egg and the beginnings of fertilization or the fetus out in a petri dish. And so he was laughing basically at the fact that that anybody could think that the human soul was actually there just because conception was caused and the development of life began. But he never answers the question and cannot answer the question, when does the human spirit arrive? You're not going to find in the biblical sense that in the sixth month or the eighth month or at the moment of birth, a spirit is breathed into the already living child. No, my friends, the creation of a new human spirit is done in the twinkling of an eye, in the flash, in the womb, in the moment of conception, traducianism. The human spirit is made alive, which is the life behind the physical. It's all about the genetics. It's all about, it involves both. The immaterial and material are inseparably one in procreation. Now, in immediate creation, when God just fashioned Adam, man, Adam, and then in this picture of taking a part of the substance of Adam, the male, and then creating the woman. Well, in all of this, then God brings her to the man. You read that? Chapter 2, verse 22. And do you see the expression of Adam? An eternal being, there in majesty, the Imago Dei, he is in visual, living, personal fellowship with God. And now he sees woman. And this emotion of communication comes out of his mouth when we read verse 23. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man." I love the end of this chapter, verse 25. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. You see, there was no guilt. There's no stress test there prior to Genesis 3. There's nobody going to rape. There's no Charles Manson. There's no Hitler. There's no war. There's no knife to cut somebody. There's no gun to shoot someone. There's no need for a lock on the door of Eden's gate. There's no need for any of those kind of things. They're just alive. They are in the Adamic majesty. This is humankind. This is awe-striking. If we understand in the book of Job that the stars of God, the angels of God, unleashed praise in this creation. There was observation. It is clear that the angels knew. And eventually a fallen one would come to engage. We were eternal. We were immortal. We were made to not only be functioning holistically in the sense of body, soul, and spirit. There was no separation. There was no aging process. Nobody got a headache. Nobody felt guilty. There was no need to go to a psych ward. And you and I, on this side of the fence, we don't even have the memory of that majesty embedded in us. We can have the ideology. We can have the ideal. Boy, I wish it could be like that. Boy, I wish we never died. I wish we never argued. I wish we never fought. I wish there was no divorce. I wish there was no disease. I wish I wasn't crippled. I wish nobody would kill kids. Then you open your eyes to the reality, the real stuff in the headlines, the real things that are going on. One apologist, Edward Carnell, I believe from Wheaton, said that when the ideal, what we wish, and the real, what really is, clashes in our minds, we all have soul sorrow. We can look back to Genesis 1 and 2 and see, and the declarations, it is good in all creation, physical creation, all that's around us, nature, and all the beauty and all the wonder. Then when it comes down to Adam, humankind, male and female, this is beautiful, this is great, this is very good, this is majesty, this is the Imago Dei, in God's likeness, in God's image. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't get any higher than that. To be in the image of an angel is less than being in the image of God. So when we think in terms of the original, see, I'm speaking to you way on the other side of the fence of Genesis 3 when everything changes. When the fall of the human race, the fatal choice, the spiritual engagement eventually brings literally a genetic corruption, a corruption in our character, a invasion, a force, a virus within that becomes the sin nature. That says, I don't want God, I'm going to run from God, I'm hostile to God. You can read about it, Romans 8. We're separated. Until we're fixed, we are separated. Until we are fixed, the issue of death is within. The platform for satanic influence is open, and hell's gates are wide and open. Until there's something to fix us. So will it be artificial intelligence, kind of a machine-based arrival at immortality? And what will that immortality be like? You know, when I read what artificial intelligence will do for us, when I read what transgenics, what they'll do genetically to resurrect us, to make us live forever, if they were able to find the cause of death inside the genetics of man and stop the death gene, this thing called, well, I don't know if you can really call it the death gene or the death code, but it's there. No one can stop it. And people can seek the fountain of life. They can try to find Eden where the tree of life is. There's a lot of other things. And there is the communication from the other side about a illusionary promise that began in Genesis 3. That if you just had the right knowledge, if you just listened to the right person, you could break free, grab the knowledge, and ascend and become gods yourself. Seems to me that's what some of the geneticists are saying. It seems to me when I was reading yesterday at what one of the quotes were in one of the books, it was astounding to see what the belief. So it's not amazing to me when Stephen Hawking says, we don't really need God to create the universe. We have spontaneous creation. out of the wave, out of the thing that's unseeable, comes spontaneous action. We don't know why. We don't know whatever. It's just spontaneous. It just happens. Random. Out of the nothing comes the something, and all of a sudden we are spun, and there's creation spontaneously making itself. And if that was true, what are the implications? We have nothing to pursue. I mean, death itself is part of the spontaneous creation's flaw. Or maybe it was meant to be that way. Maybe spontaneous chance creation causes life, causes humanity, causes us to have the ability to procreate, causes us to have the ability to love or to hate, to make war or to make love. And there's nothing outside of that. There's no God. There's no spirit. There's nothing else. There's just us lugs, you know, walking around on the face of an earth that was also spontaneously put here. Somehow, the spontaneous, out of nothing creation knew that we needed air and water and food. And here we are. And when we die, well, it's like an animal. I mean, I've been in a backfield where an animal had died and it had completely, you know, it had rotted and it's all decaying and it's going back and it's just bones. Kind of like in a desert, a big ox head lying in the desert. All the meat gone, just old, weathered, wind-blown ox head skeleton. Is that all we are? Just a big old fathead skeleton. You ever see a human skull just sitting out in the desert? All the meat gone, wind blown, white, sitting there. Once it was covered with meat. Once there was a brain. Once it was connected to the body. Once it was alive. Once it was a child. Once laughter. Once dependency on a mom and a dad and food. Once played with a brother or sister. So please understand when I balk at the reasoning behind spontaneous creation out of nothing with no reason, no rhyme, no origin in a real sense, and no concept for living, and no concept for purpose, and no concept for the end. I mean, if that is what a man or woman wants to really grasp and live with to the day they die and become the dead skull with no meat on it out into a desert somewhere that has been windblown, maybe dug up by an animal and pushed around in the desert sands. Maybe it rolls right over by that ox head. I mean, there are those that think that man is just the animal anyway, right? Listen, in the world of the jungle, in the world of the pain, in the world of being ripped off, betrayed, cheated, lied to, and stolen, sick, diseased, and dying, we all get bitter. We all hate this world. That's why people jump out of windows. That's why people hang themselves. That's why some shoot themselves or shoot others. You see, something's actually clearly really wrong, but we all wish it wasn't. And so when we go back to the origins, and that's what we're dealing with. The origins are very clear. We're not God. I mean, we're not God. I mean, that's a vital issue. We're not, you and I, we're not infinite, not having beginning, not having ending, not having the ability to be destroyed. There's a vast difference. So when you think in terms of out of God, infinite, personal, powerful, living, awesome God, just because our science can't grab the wave that causes the materialization of the particle, of the material substance behind the universe, and thus reaching all the way to us who are looking, you know, those who are looking, those who are searching. They're part of the material, you know, universe. The seekers are looking and they're scratching. They're scratching as far as they can go. But I want to say this to the scientists like that, to the AI specialists, to the geneticists, to Stephen Hawking. Maybe you're only looking in one direction, and you've sealed your heart off from looking and or being looked at by the immaterial, that is, the untouchable, the... You just can't grab God out of the sky like you do a bird. You just can't trap him like you do a fox. You can't dissect him like you do a monkey. You can't practice on him like you do a frog. The sum total of our science, the sum total of our physics, the sum total of our brains, the sum total of all of it, it doesn't equal the infinite. The dark side is clearly evidence this for the Satanists, Luciferians, and elitists out there that believe that somehow, some way, you are on the spiritual wave that you've been communicated to in whether it's a channeler that spoke, a voice that spoke, an alien encounter that you had, or maybe it's a spirit that came that looked translucent and beautiful, or you think it's your angel. And they're all telling you the same thing about an evolutionary development, a supernatural evolutionary development. If you stay on that train, you will finally arrive in an evolutionary burst, in a burst of a transformation of human consciousness. You're going to arrive and become homo lumos, homo immortality. You're going to become gods. And then what? Has it ever happened? No. Did it occur in the garden? No. The promise in the garden was simply the same. The promise was, if you only had the right knowledge, if you only had the knowledge God doesn't want you to have, the gnosis, if you only had the research, you know how it all begins? Satan says you're being ripped off. The fallen cherub is literally telling beautiful, immortal, eternal, majestic humanity, you have been ripped off. Really? What's higher? What is higher than that? What is higher than being created in the image of God, the infinite God, where nothing can approach because he's immeasurable, he is God, furthest one back, uncaused cause? Listen, the Imago Dei, what we were, the significant, you think what, for one moment in the beginning, humanity ever said, wow, I'm really having a bad day. I don't really like myself. I don't really know who I am. I don't know what I'm really searching for. I don't know what to do with my life. Maybe I should get on the Oprah show and listen to Eckhart Tolle. Didn't happen prior to Genesis 3. It's because we lost it all that we are in the search. And let me tell you carefully and clearly that scientists, physicists, astroarchaeologists, in whatever discipline, 2012ers, New Agers, alien hunters, and those who are talking to the dead, everybody's searching for something outside of our broken selves. Outside of our broken selves. The truth is, there's a motivation for the spiritual singularity that is developing globally. And there is a predatory reason why, this is the second one, why millions, if not billions, are seeking somehow, some way to get the fix. Now, in the context of going over this, I have a friend out in the West, Tim, sends me an email, sends me good articles. Here's the title of the article: UN, United Nations, seeks to control the planet's drinking water. Now, this is written by Jim Curry. This is NWV news writer. This is September 28th, 2010, newswithviews.com. quote, "The past week was a busy one in New York City's United Nations building. Besides the speeches by Iran's president and the U.S. president, there were meetings and conferences regarding the future of the planet. They're looking for the fix." The UN's the concept, the ideology, the doctrine of globalism, man, it is there. New World Order, it is there. And there where Iran's president ranted, where the U.S. president spoke, many others. The world's looking at the UN. So the article writer says this. Quote, "While all eyes were on the speeches and pomp and circumstance of world leaders, the Denzenizers of U.S. newsrooms ignored what one observer termed the mother of all power grabs." Listen, the mother of all power grabs. Now, this is occurring in the United Nations this last week. Listen, the mother of all power grabs. What is it? Well, the United Nations General Assembly is considering a historic resolution recognizing the human right to safe and clean drinking water and sanitation. And now they, in the resolution, though, as I'm reading the article, are going to make up the terms, saying that really the rest of the world has cheated the rest of the lesser world out of water. The goal is global water advocate, Blue Planet Project founder, Maude Barlow, urges a decisive and swift passage of the resolution. All the nations. Now, I know one thing. When I, you know, the church I have gone to, they go as missionaries. Yeah, they do. They actually dig for wells, take the power equipment down, and create the place for safe waters. We've given money for this. This is ongoing, constant. Like you and I, we can go, grab a bottle of water here or there. Truthfully, coming from the nations that where we can go anywhere, in my trunk there's a stack of bottled water. There is. I live out in the country, and the water, I can drink the water here. But people tell me it doesn't smell good, doesn't taste as good. When there's people, and it's true. I mean, it's true. It's not just, again, a lot of the focus is on South Africa. And I don't know why the United Nations doesn't come down on the fact of the power latent grabbing dictators who don't give a darn about their subjects other than maybe massacring, like in the Sudan, hundreds of thousands of them. That's one way to solve the water problem. So instead of, laying the heavy weight on corrupt governments, corrupt dictators, corrupt systems, people that steal all the money that goes into giving, food and water to the nations, and then helping them to develop their own. So now the UN is going to decide that it needs to take the right to collect the world's water, ration it maybe, and then give it off. Now, that's a part of that issue I'm talking about, the fix. I mean, it's one thing, you and I have got to come to the fix. If you don't have water, you're going to have to find it somewhere, right? If a great chaos in the United States breaks loose and all the electric is down, everything else is down, where are you going to get your water? Your 5-gallon thing is only going to last so long, and your bottled Aquafina is going to only last so long. There's a pond on my property. Can't drink out of it. I guess there's ways, clearly. I've written this in the book, too, about getting prepared. The water is a big issue. If all hell breaks loose and you're left and everybody's kind of fending, what do you do? Well, we need to know this. But the other side of the story, this is all about the fix. This is all about the problem. This is all about what's really going on. And it does have, listen, for survivalists that don't want anything to do with spirituality or God or religion, you can only live on your stored up water for so long, your stored up packs of food for so long. What do you do to fix dying? What do you do to fix human hearts that are bent on controlling, ruling anybody else? What do you do with the Luciferians that want to eliminate billions of people and leave only about 500 million people? You know, the Georgia Guidestones is a Luciferian proclamation. And there will be those that will be convinced that that's a good thing, because we humans, man, we've messed up the earth. We've messed up we've got landfills and we polluted the water and we've taken down the trees and we've done so much to harm the earth. And so, you know, the truth is we just need to kill everybody and get us down to about 500 million that they can be the elites that have it all. Is that the answer? Somebody reading Plato out there? And so the drivenness and then the dire desire to fix the problem. Let me go over those two things. There will be, all the way to the end, this spiritually driven communication. I believe that there will be counterfeit signs, wonders, all kinds of supernaturalism to convince millions that the evolutionary development to immortality, to godhood, to no dying, to living forever, is going to be something that millions will grasp, especially because outside of God, with God outside of them, the death code on the inside, the reality of dying, death, and the approaching darkness. Well, listen, who wouldn't want to believe some supernatural source that says, you know what? If all you do, if you'll believe this, if you'll grab the secret knowledge of the ages, and you will embrace this, it will lead you to an evolution. You can become God. Now, the New Age is teaching that. There is so much behind the spiritual wave that is coming that will activate dormant, dead DNA or whatever's inside of us that will cause that spontaneous burst, evolutionary burst, turn us into immortal walking beings. Now, does that mean immortal? Charles Manson, will the burst occur in him and he become the immortal, living forever, but yet unchanged, crazy evil Charles Manson that he is and was? What changes the core? What changes our hearts? What gets the evil? You know, we want evil out of society. Its existence flows from what's within. Do you remember the words of Jesus? For it is out of the heart, the cardia, the center of us, that murders and thefts and killings and all of this comes. I heard about today in Akron, Ohio, a teenage 19-year-old boy was shot and killed and left in his car. Didn't come out of nowhere. Somebody did it. But it began in the heart. All of it, every rape, it begins in the heart. Every killing, it begins in the heart. All the cheating, it begins in the heart. All the lying, it's in the heart. In the heart of mankind, there's a problem. And listen, biological, evolutionary, spiritual, evolutionary, artificial intelligence, genetic manipulation, all pointing to the rage to fix death, to fix disease, to fix dying. I mean, that's a quest. Billions are spent. And I always get the image of the billionaire that's 80 years old in a wheelchair on a breathing machine, spending his last dollars with all his doctors in his mansion, trying to keep him alive, getting the next newest science that might heal him, immortalize him, or resurrect him, give him eternal life. Anything and everything except God, Christ, Lazarus raised from the dead, Jesus raised from the dead, the proclamation, Old and New Testament, it's all about the defeat of death, the resurrection. But listen, it's not a resurrection of the life you have right now. You wait till Friday. Dear friends, you wait till Friday this week. Title, glorification, the closest thing to God-likeness ever. Actually, glorification takes redeemed humanity beyond the Adamic nature that we started with. It involves DNA, genetics, indestructible immortality. We're going to talk about the what and the wow of it on Friday night. There is a spiritual constant communication with supernaturalism behind it that will continue to convince millions of New Agers and others and be infused in all of globalism about a possibility of an evolution. What's the source of that? Who's behind that? If it's the fallen chair of the finite promising this, which I'm saying in a biblical way, biblical revelation, from Genesis 3 on, it never got fulfilled. I'm going to tell you why. Because the physics of existence, of spirituality, of the finite in comparison to the infinite, the finite cannot, by its limited finite physics, abilities, function, knowledge, evolve, burst into, or become the infinite. There's a lot of things we can do, grow and develop. But I understand the limitations. I am not God. I have the limit of 1 hour. We're 5 minutes away from me being ended in this discussion. In this communication, to tell you that Jesus Christ has the absolutely needed communication, demonstrating that the infinite, even in human flesh, had power over death. Oh, and it wasn't just a resurrection to the same old. The resurrection of all believers in Christ in the end, the glorification, it's not a resurrection to live in a half-baked, hurting body that struggles with the world, the flesh, and the devil. What Jesus did at the cross conquers it all. We experience it in salvation right here and now. As a matter of fact, salvation infects, affects, and touches the depths of your DNA, your genetics. Something has been put in you so that when the call is given, on an atomic level, the power of God out of what is unseen, what is untouchable, but is real, manifests into our realm. The mortal puts on immortality. That's going to be seeable. For those of you that know Christ, it will be feelable, knowable, and livable forever. Those who don't know Jesus Christ, I urge you to go to the Gospel of John, look and read again and again and see what God has done. God knows about genetics. God knows about physics. God knows about it all in the infinite sense. We can scratch in the dark and see what we can learn, spitting in the face of God. But let me ask you the question, why? What is in a person's heart that they would spit in the face of God and say, well, we don't need God for creation. Don't need God for life. What about that casket when the lid comes towering down and the funeral man locks it and they take you, lower you, and cover you with the dirt? Where's your physics then? Where's your artificial intelligence? Where's the genetics that flow from finite, flawed sciences? There's nothing wrong with searching for better things for people. But there's something great about God loving us and coming to us to answer the question of life, origins, meaning, purpose, death, eternity, knowing God. Jesus Christ. Well, he's the answer. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar. We're at the end of the hour. God bless you. Remember us in prayer and remember us in support. Take a look at the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Good night.